All right, we have just a brief, like 2 minutes from Pastor Stevens on the importance of Bible college. Listen to this, and hey, might stir you up to come to registration tomorrow night. So let's listen to that right now.
There are several reasons why God has individuals enter into college training of the Bible and its relevant subjects. The first reason is to teach believers how to be disciplined in thinking with God. The second thing that is important for Bible school training is the individual enters into academic discipline in a classroom. Education is a valuable asset and a necessary process and an enjoyable relationship. So education in the Bible also is very important. Academic discipline in the classroom. Now, academic discipline in the classroom simply means that we enter into a serious decision to submit our minds to the teacher while he is teaching and to the subject that he communicates to us. While he is teaching, when he is done, you are free to leave that classroom and certainly not submit to that teacher in that sense. It's very important because it produces academic humility. Academic humility is we humble ourselves for our spiritual goals of learning. We humble ourselves in spiritual goals of learning. Academic humility. That means during a period of time you learn to harness up your concentration. And by harnessing up your concentration, you have the capacity of God's grace and the ability that that grace gives you to concentrate for 55 minutes without any distortion of your mind, without any interference from the air, and without any self-conscious realization. If you ask some people why you're coming to Bible college, they would say to train to be a leader. No, that is not why you're coming. That may be a part of it. But you're coming so that you can train to become a servant. So that you can train to become a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And you recognize that many things that happen where you live and with whom you live with is to help you to have a servant's heart.
Well, that was so good to hear the voice and remember those years in Bible school, not really knowing what the outcome would be, where it would take us, but knowing him, that's what we're going to speak about tonight. I had to take a little delay before we begin for the students that came from abroad. They are coming. Some have come. They stood up. I just want to give to Anugraha from Toronto a cafe card. This is a $5 value. And there's a cafe card for you, and you and your family are precious to us. And from Pastor Carl's ministry in Mumbai, who lived in the Middle East and now in Toronto, and the son is here with us in Bible College. Then the de facto or the man in charge in Geneva, Switzerland this past year, Tony Cooper. He's not ordained, but actually functioned as the pastor there. Him and his wife, Isabella, are from Geneva, Switzerland. He's from England, actually. And Simon really wants to talk with you after the meeting. Okay. Good to have you here. It's not my... Sheila from Hungary. Here's Sheila. Okay. Isaac from Brazil. Okay, there you go. And then Tomi is back for his second year from Albania. Here he is. Here you go. Isaac. Yeah. There you go. Good to have you back. Okay, turn to Isaiah. Okay, Wednesday night, this is my general plan, and the Holy Spirit is bigger than our clock. But because it is a weekday and because families come on Wednesday night, of course, and great to have the families, and they have school tomorrow, not tomorrow, but on a typical Wednesday. So my goal is 8:40, no later than 8:45, the service is over. Isn't that good? I know you have different ideas on it. Don't answer me. It's okay. All right, so just to honor and respect the parents and also teachers and the body of Christ. And I can't say what I want to say in 30 minutes, then maybe it's not worth saying it. Oh, no, no, no. Okay, we disagree on that too. Let's move on. Okay, Isaiah 55. And then we'll go to John chapter 1. Just, this is only a reading. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, he that has no money. Does anybody fit in that category? He that has no money. Are we reading it? There we go. Come to the waters, he that has no money. Come ye, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. This afternoon we did the lunch wrap, and then I just said, let's go sketchboarding down in the Inner Harbor. I've been living here as a pastor for 10 years plus, and I always thought you had to have permission to go to the Inner Harbor, set up sketchboard, and start preaching. But Eric Dressel said, no, you don't need any permission. So we tested it, and we went down there by the USS Constitution? Right in the Inner Harbor, Pastor Hadley, Pastor Fred Ellis, and myself, and we drew a diagram, and it was, you have a hole in your heart, and come to Christ, and he will satisfy you. Without money, without price. Verse 2, wherefore, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor that for that which satisfies not? We spend a lot of money. We spend a lot of money. Go ahead, say that to your neighbor. We spend a lot of money. You spend a lot of money. You spend too much money. Hey, I forgot. I want to welcome Margot Miskimmon here. Where is she seated? Margot, where are you? Margot? Oh, you want to just wave. There we go. There's Margot. It's amazing. Thank you. Good to have you here. This is a family. We're a family. And thank you for being here tonight. So I go to Target, buy something. I really don't need it. Actually, maybe I don't even want it. But I buy it, bring it home, polish it up, look at it, put it in the attic, go back to Target and buy something else. Maybe. Okay, let's move on. Verse 2. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good. Listen to me, God is saying. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Well, Pastor Steve just did a brilliant thing. I knew he could do it. I said, you can find for me the name of a ship that was loaded with gold or silver and sank in some ocean somewhere, and they never recovered the treasure. So he did it in about 1.5 minutes. Okay, here's the report.
Hello. Okay, there we are. Okay. All right. This actually, the iPhone did it for me. So I just punched in a name. 1511, that's 100 years before the King James Bible came out. There was a ship from Portugal called the Flower of the Sea that sank with $2.6 billion of gold. And it's off the coast of Sumatra, if you want to find it. But no one's been able to find it since 1511. So
there is someone in this congregation who can find it. And we're going to lay hands on you tonight. And you're going to go get it. And that's Pastor Chuck Heidenreich. He'll get it done. Okay, so now, why are we saying this? Well, it's leading into something. Turn to look at verse 3. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. There are people that are looking for things, finding them, but they don't satisfy. Then there are people that are looking for the most important thing. And oftentimes they are very hard to find the most important things in life. Imagine $2.6 billion of gold somewhere in the sea. And with man and all his technology not being able to find it. It reminds me of Job chapter 28, without turning there, but it's a tip for you when you have some time and take the time and turn to Job 28, and it explains how birds are finding their way, fish are finding the way, but man cannot find wisdom. We are living in a world where people are finding so much, but not finding the most important. And I want you to see from John chapter 1, if you would turn there to the Gospel of John, and look at this chapter and make a few notes about it. It's really a chapter about how people don't know the important things. There are four things mentioned in the chapter that people do not know. Wouldn't it be amazing if we had the coordinates, the exact place where that Portuguese ship loaded with gold went down? But there's even something greater that I would know in a very real way, very personally, God. And in John chapter 1, we are told that man does not know God. He doesn't know where to find him. He can't find him. Actually, even worse, he doesn't want to find him. I think the atheists in the world are going to have to be accountable to God when they say, "I didn't believe in you." And God will say, "Why didn't you believe?" Because actually, you weren't made so obvious to me. Bertrand Russell actually made that statement. Somebody asked him, if you stood before God, what would you say to him? I would say, why didn't he make himself more obvious to me? I think God would answer Bertrand Russell and say, I am everywhere. If you want to find me, you can find me. I am in a baby's face. I am in your chemistry and physics. I am in the laws of nature. I'm in the universe. I'm in your very heart by moral law, your conscience that says there's something wrong. But why do you labor and spend money but never find satisfaction and will not come to me and diligently hear what I say? And the answer is, because men are in darkness and don't know God, and the problem is with man, not with God. If you look at John chapter 1, we see here, verse 5, The light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Then if you go to verse 10, the second person, or the next most, they are all persons, what I want to mention in this message and in this chapter. The second person, there's God is not known, and the second one is Christ is not known. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Actually, there is a lot known in the world. Look at our iPhones, and a lot known, and a lot on the surface is known in this world. But we are saying tonight that what I really need to know, I don't know. I really need to know God, but I don't know him. And I really need to know Christ, but I don't know him. The third one is the verse 15. John, the prophet. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 19, this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? There we go. Who are you? John, who are you? They don't know John the Baptist. They don't know Christ and they don't know God. I ask the question, are these three important to know? I am suggesting to you and saying it actually without any doubt, they are very important to know. They are greater than that treasure at the bottom of the sea. And it's just as difficult to find, unless it would be God himself that would make known to you who he is, Matthew 11:27, and then for you to know who he is. And you buy without money, without any price, that which is satisfying. And the Lord said, you are doing this if you diligently hearken unto me. You will actually know. And when we were soul winning today in the Inner Harbor, there was a group of Indian tourists. I don't know, 5 or 6 of them from India. And they stopped and actually were interested to talk, being from another country, and we were talking, and it was fascinating, because they said, some of them said, I believe in Christ, and we were just talking, and I do not know what they know. I don't know actually who they are, and actually they don't really know who I am. Actually, you as a believer could be something like John the Baptist. And the priests and the Pharisees sent to John and said, who are you? And we all know this, because even in our own families, you could one day sit across a table from your relative and wonder, who are you? Who are you? Like, I don't even know you. I am not really sure what is really in your heart. And isn't that a tragedy? That we would know so much on the surface of life, but not really know why we are here. Or even, we could even, go to a Target and buy something, but not really know what is really happening here. And actually not even know who I am myself. But we have good news here in the message. Wait for it, it's coming. The next one is, they said, are you Elijah? Verse 21. He said, I am not. Are you that prophet? He answered, no. It's like, then they said in verse 22, who are you that we may give an answer? What sayest thou thyself? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Why? How did he answer? He quoted Isaiah chapter 40. He gave a strange answer. And in the kingdom of God, there is a way that God deals with people where it isn't always obvious, but if you seek him, you will find him. If you want to know, you can know. If we are hungry, we will be fed. If we are pure in heart, the pure in heart shall see God. And this is what I love so much about the fellowship that we have in the body. There's another one here, and it's the fourth one that isn't known. But look at verse 30 or 29. The next day John sees Jesus coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." There's what we're looking for. There it is. It rises to the surface. It's a prophet's voice. It's the message of the pastor teacher. And in our country, by the way, I need to say this, this election coming up in November is very important. It's an important decision. We have two candidates and many people are not satisfied with either one. What do? You choose the best one that you have. You make a moral decision. You understand what they say, what they believe about issues that are important to us. And you make a decision about who it is that you are voting for as a citizen, as a responsible person. We are born again Christians with the Spirit of God, and we pray for God's will, and we are active in our community. Listen, thought is powerful. Thought is powerful. Thoughts are powerful. They affect the lives of people. Thoughts are important. Thoughts are propagated. Thoughts are part of life. Thoughts are politics. Thoughts are ideologies. Thoughts are messages. And I am saying that that we are looking at the deep thing and finding it as deep treasure, and that is Christ himself. And Christ will help me live an effective life in an imperfect world. Yeah, okay. You know what I mean. So John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." There it is. John the pastor says it. "Behold the Lamb of God." Do you have a pastor where you hear and you hear a message that stirs your heart and leads you in the faith and opens the Bible and makes known out of the Bible the Word of God that moves in my spirit and comforts me? There are many that do not know him. They don't know John the Baptist. They don't know the Messiah. And they don't know God. And there's a fourth one here. Turn with me to chapter 1. And it is Nathanael. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. That's why street ministry is so much fun. That's why having your heart open to God in your everyday life, because you see somebody coming to you. And you wonder, like those Indians. Another little group we met was a volleyball team from Michigan, a group of girls from Michigan visiting Baltimore. And there they are. And I just we talked, and they were, of course, they don't know us, and we were just made ourselves clear and simple. And they appreciated it, and we handed them some literature. Do you know Nathanael when he's coming? Do you know, like, Chila here from Hungary? Do we know then that Tony Cooper? Do we know the people that are coming? Albanian from Tomi from Albania. He comes, and we recognize or know? I don't know. But Jesus knew Nathanael. He goes, ah, here he is. Here he is on the street. There he is, Nathanael, I know him. Jesus, how do you know me? Look at verse 48. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Well, how do you know me? From where do you know me? Where have you met me before? How do you know me? What am I saying? I am saying that there are treasures hidden in the sea and you cannot find them. There are questions about the universe and we cannot find it. There are things that we cannot find. But the most important thing in this world we have found. The most important thing that you and I could ever have in our life is this spiritual knowledge, this fellowship. When you recognize who God is, and by the way, God is the iconoclast. The word means icon smasher. The destroyer, the clastes is the Greek word icon, the image. He destroys our images. He destroys our concepts. We think God is like this, and then a trial comes, and that icon is destroyed. Because God wants us to have the pure wisdom, knowledge of this person. Somebody read the book on grace, and it destroyed their concept. They realized that God is a God of grace, just like the rabbit story. Change his name. Invest in him. Maybe it'll overcome the bitterness and the anger and the physical pain that he has that makes him a miserable rabbit. God is the iconoclast. He destroys the concepts. And that is so fantastic. When we grow in the living God and know him. When Jesus is there in the Spirit, in the believer, then the Spirit recognized John the Baptist and says, what is he saying? And he's pointing, behold the Lamb of God. And then when the believer recognized Nathanael, I know Nathanael. I have seen him with these, what are these goggles where you can see warm creatures in the nighttime? What's that, infrared or what is it? I don't know what that's called. Night vision goggles, duh. Okay, you know, you have these night vision, what a technical word. Night vision goggles, and you see in the forest, well, Jesus has that vision and he can see in our heart. And he sees Christ in the Spirit of God is in us. God has pleasure in us. We have a knowledge. I don't care about where that ship is in the sea. It'd be nice to know, Pastor Heidenreich, if you want to go after. But I don't know where it is, but I have found treasure. We have found the knowledge. We have found a Bible school. We have found a message. We have found the image breaker, the living God who smashes the Pharisees' message and smashes the prostitute's image of God. Oh, I could never. And then Jesus comes, and the knowledge of the Most High, the honor that comes from him into our hearts. Lastly, verse 48, Jesus answered and said, before that Philip called you when you were under the fig tree, I had my night vision goggles on, and I saw you. Now, other people couldn't see you in the dark, but I could. I'm not saying he was in the dark, but I could see you like other people cannot see. When we pass people in the subway, the escalators, the airports, you just see on the surface people coming and going. You take note of their clothes. You take note of maybe their language, their accent, or something else. But the night vision goggles of the Holy Spirit is able to know. And when somebody is seeking, somebody is thirsty, somebody wants a drink of water, then we say, come, drink wine and milk and honey without price and without money. And diligently hear me and you will know that I am for you, that I love you, that I care about you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll build you up in your heart, and you'll have peace and satisfaction. You know, I was thinking about human history, and like we do generally, and I was thinking that we are facing in our country challenges, but really they are nothing for us. They have our ground. We're grounded in knowledge of who is God, who is Christ, who is John the Baptist, and who is Nathaniel. Do you have them in your heart? I know who is God. I know who is the Christ. I know the messenger that points to Christ. And I know my brother and my sister that has the Spirit of Christ. I know God. I know the body of Christ. I know the purpose of Christ, the plan of Christ, the vision and the work of Christ. We are of all people most blessed. Glory not in your wealth, rich man, not in your might, mighty men, but glory in this, that you know me and understand me, Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Then you are on the street or in the ministry and you're recognizing it, enjoying it. It's fantastic. There's no end to it. There's just satisfaction without money and without price. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you that we can sense your Spirit saying amen in our hearts. This is our greatest treasure. I might not have this or have that, but I have this. I have this. What a treasure it is. If you're here today and you don't have Jesus, start today, believe today. Say to Christ, I believe in you, I trust in you, I need you. I want to know you by your Spirit. I want to know you and walk by faith in you. And anyone at all, raise your hand. The ushers are ready to give you a booklet. Anyone at all, raise your hand. And then for the believers here today, tonight, Lord, we glory in it. We make the effort. We are here by faith. We come by faith and we find Christ and we grow in him. Do not get discouraged. Be encouraged with who you know. God will lead you in and out, help you and guide you. You will increase in peace and in love and understanding. Yes, thank you, Lord. You're here tonight as a believer. Just say in your heart, yes, Lord, we worship you and thank you. Thank you for the clarity of the message. Thank you for our time in history at this point. This is what I need. And then with this equipment, this fellowship, we're able to function in difficult and challenging times with clarity of mind and heart and love, people. The world needs love, and many have a hard time finding it. But we have found you. You are love, and we are okay because we have found you as the God of love, healing us, helping us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.